Blog Talk Radio.
Beginning of the End, Chapter 3, The Predicament of Our First Parents. This chapter is based on Genesis 3. No longer free to stir up rebellion in heaven, Satan found a new field in plotting the ruin of the human race. Moved by envy, he determined to bring upon them the guilt and penalty of sin. He would change their love to distrust, and their songs of praise to criticism of their Maker. Thus he would not only plunge these innocent beings into misery, but cast dishonor upon God and cause grief in heaven. Heavenly messengers opened to our first parents the history of Satan's fall and his plots for their destruction, unfolding the nature of the divine government that the prince of evil was trying to overthrow. The law of God is a revelation of his will, a transcript of his character, the expression of divine love and wisdom. The harmony of creation depends upon perfect conformity to the law of the Creator. Everything is under fixed laws that cannot be disregarded. But human beings alone, of all that inhabits the earth, are responsible to moral law. To them God has given power to understand the justice and goodness of His law, and of them unswerving obedience is required. Like the angels, the dwellers in Eden had been given time to show what they would do. They could obey and live, or disobey and perish. He who did not spare the angels that sinned could not spare them. Transgression would bring upon them misery and ruin. The angels warned them to be on guard against the schemes of Satan. If they firmly resisted his first subtle enticings, they would be safe. But if they once yielded to temptation, their nature would become so depraved that in themselves they would have no power and no inclination to resist Satan. The tree of knowledge had been made a test of their obedience and love to God. If they should disregard his will in this particular, they would be guilty. Satan was not to follow them with continual temptations. He could have access to them only at the forbidden tree. To accomplish his work undetected, Satan put on a disguise. The serpent was one of the wisest and most beautiful creatures. It had dazzling brightness. Resting in the forbidden tree, feasting on the delicious fruit, it was an object to arrest attention and delight the eye. Thus, in the garden of peace, lurked the destroyer. The angels had warned Eve to beware of separating from her husband. With him she would be in less danger than if alone, but she unconsciously wandered from his side. Forgetting the angel's caution, she soon found herself gazing with mingled curiosity and admiration on the forbidden tree. The fruit was beautiful, and she wondered why God had withheld it from them. Now the tempter had his opportunity. "Has God indeed said, 'You shall not eat of every tree in the garden?'" Eve was startled to hear the echo of her thoughts. The serpent continued with subtle praise of her surpassing beauty, and his words were pleasant. Instead of fleeing from the spot, she lingered. She didn't suspect that Satan was speaking through the fascinating serpent. She replied, "We may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, 'You shall not eat of it, nor shall you touch it, lest you die.'" Then the serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." By eating from this tree, he declared, they would reach a higher level of life. He himself had eaten, and had acquired the power of speech. He implied that the Lord had jealously withheld it from them, in case they would be exalted to equality with himself, and that he had prohibited them from tasting or touching it, because this fruit imparted wisdom and power. The divine warning was merely to intimidate them. How could it be possible for them to die? Had not they eaten of the tree of life? God had been seeking to prevent them from reaching a nobler development and finding greater happiness. This has been the way Satan has worked from the days of Adam to the present time, and he has been very successful with this method. He tempts people to distrust God's love and doubt his wisdom. In their efforts to explore what God has withheld, multitudes overlook truths that are essential to salvation. Satan tempts them to disobedience, to believe they are entering a wonderful field of knowledge, but this is all a deception. They are starting down the road that leads to degradation and death. The subtlety of Satan's appeal. Satan told the holy pair that they would gain by breaking the law of God. Today, many talk of the narrowness of those who obey God's commandments and claim that they themselves enjoy greater liberty. What is this but an echo of the voice from Eden? In the day you eat of it, transgress the divine requirement, you will be like God. Satan did not let it appear that he had become an outcast from heaven. He concealed his own misery in order to draw others into the same position. So now the transgressors disguise their true character, but they are on the side of Satan, trampling upon the law of God and leading others to eternal ruin. Eve disbelieved the words of God, and this was what led to her fall. In the judgment, people will not be condemned because they conscientiously believed a lie, but because they did not believe the truth. We must set our hearts to know what is truth. Whatever contradicts God's word comes from Satan. The serpent plucked the fruit of the forbidden tree and placed it in the hands of the half-reluctant Eve. Then he reminded her of her own words, that God had forbidden them to touch it, lest they die. Seeing no evil results, Eve grew bolder. When she saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. As she ate, she seemed to imagine herself entering upon a higher state of existence. And now, having herself disobeyed, she became Satan's agent to ruin her husband. In a state of strange, unnatural excitement, her hands filled with the forbidden fruit, she looked for and found him. Adam appeared astonished and alarmed. To the words of Eve, he replied that this must be the foe against whom they had been warned. Now, as God has said, she must die. In answer, she urged him, "Eat," repeating the words of the servant that they would not surely die. She felt no evidence of God's displeasure, but sensed a delicious, exhilarating influence, thrilling every part of her body with new life. Adam understood that his companion had disobeyed the command of God. There was a terrible struggle in his mind. He mourned that he had permitted Eve to wander from his side. But now the deed was done. He must be separated from her whose society had been his joy. How could he endure this? Adam had enjoyed the companionship of God and of holy angels. He understood the high destiny open to the human race if they remained faithful to God. Yet all these blessings were lost sight of in the fear of losing that one gift, which in his eyes was of more value than every other. Love, gratitude, and loyalty to the Creator, all were swept aside by love to Eve. She was a part of himself, and he could not endure the thought of separation. If she must die, he would die with her. Might not the words of the wise serpent...
Amen, amen, brothers and sisters. I have one here on with us, and we will begin with just that one. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, oh, Father, as we come once again to the prayer line, Father, to thank you for this prayer line, to thank you for your word, to thank you, Father, for our Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for your Holy Spirit and leading and guiding us, keeping us, Father, and giving us wisdom. Lord, as we study your word here on the prayer line, Father, I'm asking that you pour out your Holy Spirit and give us understanding. Now, Father, I pray and I lift your word up to you. Lord, we all need your understanding, and we need to be doers of your word. Help me, Father, that I be a doer and not just only a hearer. So now, Lord, as we are on the prayer line, as my brothers and sisters come, I'm asking that you bless each and every one. Give them safe traveling mercy. Protect them while they're driving. And keep us, Lord, while we are here in this land. And Father, most of all, we asking that you put your spirit, pour out your spirit upon us, that we will go out and share this gospel, that everyone would know what is true. So now, Lord, thank you tonight for the blessing as we are here on the prayer line. Help us, and help us to understand what we need for you to help us, Lord, because we don't know. But thank you, Father, for all your blessings that you pour out upon us. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. And brothers and sisters, I would like to read. I'm going to read something from Spirit of Prophecy, and I'm going to read from Ezekiel chapter 36. I'm going to read this, and I pray for my brothers and sisters to understand and we're going to read the Spirit of Prophecy. I'm reading from Ezekiel chapter 36, and I'm reading from verses 16 through 28. This is a powerful reading, and it's called A Spiritual Revival. Do we want that spiritual revival? And I'm praying that you take it and read it for yourself. And I will begin opening the line, but I like to read this. And it said, I'm going to read this right quick. It said, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dealt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doing. Their way was before me as an uncleanliness of a removed woman on them, for the blood that they had shed upon the land and the idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the country according to their way. And according to their doing, I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whether they went, they profaned my holy name. When they said to them, these are my people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. But I had pity for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whether they went of Israel, thus said the Lord God. I do not this for your sake, O house of Israel, but for my holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, where ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which ye profane among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them, and the heathen shall know that I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. For all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put in you. Just a second, brothers and sisters. Just a second. I'm on verse 27. I will put my spirit within you, and I will cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgment and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will also save you from all your uncleanliness, and I will call for the corn, and I will increase it, and lay no famine upon you. And I will multiply the fruit of the trees and increase of the field, that you shall receive no more reproach of famine among the heathen. Sisters and brothers, when I read that, and I'm going to read the Great Controversy, but I'm not going to open the Great Controversy right now because I would like for my sisters and brothers to share. I don't want to hold up too much time, but I'm reading this, what the prophecy Ezekiel, this is, and I'm going to say it again, this is Ezekiel chapter 36. Read it for yourself, and so you can understand what God wants you to know. And I want to read what Sister White is saying about what God said. I'm going to put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye keep my judgment. I would like to read, and I'm going to tell you where I'm getting it from and the Great Controversy. But right now, brothers and sisters, I want to welcome my brothers and sisters on Advent Light Ministry, and I want to say we also welcome the brothers and sisters from all the other countries, Canada, we have the Netherlands, we have Jamaica, we have all parts in America like New York, Louisiana, Texas. We got people all over. So we just welcome you, brothers and sisters, and we want you for joining us tonight. And I will begin to open the line to allow my brothers and sisters to share. And you can share your testimonies. You can share the love that God has given to you this week or whatever blessing you got. So let us begin. Open the line. We're going to open the first line, 518-951, U.S. Press 1. Amen. You can give us where you're calling from. Go ahead.
Okay. I am Sister. Good night, my dear beloved. I'm Sister Powell calling from Kingston, Jamaica. Myself here and my dear beautiful sister and mother and everything, Sister Jones, we are here giving thanks. We are here giving praises and honor to God for what he has been doing in our life. Thank you, Sister Leola, for reading and for that reading from Ezekiel. And also, as we hear that, you know, God promised us that he will multiply, he will give us the land. And also, he wants us, right, to share and to tell others of his goodness. And even though, you know, things are rough everywhere it is, but I have to give God thanks and praise for his blessing, because just as you read a while ago, my dear beloved, I came upon a situation not too long ago, and I was just here sharing it to my dear sister about the other country, and this country is in Haiti. And my dear beloved, God gave us the land. He provide everything on the land for us. And when we look and we saw what is happening in other countries, Lord, I tell you, tears came from my eyes. And this, I give thanks for Jamaica, this small island of Jamaica surrounded around the Caribbean Sea, despite of the things that happen here, because I am not telling you that some wickedness is not happening here. It's happening. But despite of that, God has been blessing, and God has been talking to others how they must treat people. These are some Asian children, my dear, and they came in this country without anything, illegal Asian. Some of them are handicapped, crippled. Some, they are bare feet. But I want to thank God that Jamaica, a little organization, Mustard Seed Jacob Ladder, had opened their doors, opened their hearts to receive these wonderful, precious little children, and they are there with them in their housing. And I just pray that God will touch the heart of these individuals here, especially these wealthy individuals who have it, you know, and that they may be able to stretch forth their hands and help this organization, because these children need everything. And Sister Leola, you know how I am passionate for children. This evening when I saw the children, you can see it, it's on YouTube. When I saw the children, you know, and I saw their little faces and telling, you know, thanks to this country who opened their hands and received them. So I am just asking, let us pray for these children and whatsoever we can do for these children, you know, and also praise the Father. This organization is run by our Father. He said, Father, but we know our Father is in heaven. Jesus Christ is our Father, but he is one, a servant, and he is a servant from God, and he is helping these children. So I just want to offer a word of prayer for these children because, Lord, my heart has been moved, right? Heavenly Father, we come to you on this line this evening to give you thanks and praises, Lord, for the blessings that you have given unto us. We want to thank you for the host, Sister Leola, and also the joy in her heart for baby Naomi, her great-granddaughter. Father, she's so precious, Lord, and we are asking you, dear Lord, to touch her from the crown of her head to the sole of her feet, and we are returning her back to you because, Lord, we leave her in your hand for you to guide and to train her, dear Lord, that the light, Lord Jesus, that you have for these little children, that she will obtain that light and also grow up to be a wonderful servant for you. So I just want to thank you. Now, dear Lord, we present everyone on this land from every part of the world. And we are asking you, Lord, as we gather at the welcome table to listen to your fresh bread from heaven this evening and also the reading, Lord, and also spiritual prophecy. We just want to thank you for your Holy Spirit to abide in each one of us hearts. Heavenly Father, now we come, Lord, with these Haitians. We know what is going on in Haiti. We know what is going on in Egypt. We know what is going on other parts of the world. Suffering, death, Lord Jesus. Pain and ache, dear Lord, your world that you have created. And the enemy is making a mess. But, Lord, we know that one day soon and very soon, you are going to say, it is done. All who are filthy will be filthy still, and who are just will be just still. So, Lord, help us, Lord, that we as your people, we have your light to carry out to the world so that we will blow the trumpet, as you said. Try, Isaiah, cry aloud, spare not, and tell the people about the self-sin. Heavenly Father, help us, Lord, as a church, Lord Jesus, a remnant people. This evening we come to you boldly to the throne to allow your people, Lord Jesus, to follow your command and also come back to the true Christian that you want us to be. Bring back your church, Lord Jesus, and your church consists of individual people. Touch their heart, dear Lord, that they will surrender all to you and have their heart, their mind, their soul stick upon you, Jesus Christ, who is the author and finisher of all things. Bless each one of us, Lord, everyone who joined, my brothers and my sisters. Continue to keep us. Continue to allow us, Lord, to stand still that we can see your salvation. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Sister Lee, Sister Jones will say a few words. Amen.
Good night.
Amen. Hello?
Hello? We're here. We can hear you. Go ahead, sister.
Okay. God is good. And all the time, God is good. And I just want to just thank God for the many blessings of today. I want to thank him that he's a God who cares for us. He cares. And he's a God who we can lean upon his everlasting arms. And he will never fail us. He will always be there for us because if we are obedient, that we will eat the good of the land. Jesus is coming soon. And as Seventh-day Adventists, we always preach that. But I pray that while we are preaching about his coming soon, that we order our lives so that he can bless us, so that he can help us to come to the knowledge of the truth, that he can help us to put our trust in him. And I just want to just say, my heart goes out to these little Asian babies. And this is not just Haiti alone. This thing is just all over the world where children are suffering. They are suffering and they are dying without help. But I know that Jamaica is a good place. And Asians, they always come over to us on boats, you know, with their children and all of that. And we try to take help who we can help. And so this evening, I just want to give God all the glory and the honor and the praise because he's worthy. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 Amen. Sister Power, and is this Sister Jones? The Sister Jones that just got the
weekend? Yes, Sister Jones. Yes, Sister Jones.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just say this. What you all are doing, taking those children, you know, God is the God that created all. And just because these children come from another area, what did he tell us? Don't reject those people that come to your land. Don't. He said, take care of them. And that's what he said in Genesis when the people came from a different country. He didn't tell them to turn them around and don't give them food to eat. He said, you take care of those kids. Take care of those people. So, Sister Powell, whatever we can do to help, we're going to help you with those kids. Those children that come from a country, and we know they don't have no shoes, they have no food. And you know, and Jamaica itself don't have a whole lot, but they are offering what they have.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to, I'm going to lift that up in prayer later, and we will, by God's grace, do what we can to help you with those children, because these children need food, they need clothing, they need shoes, they need care. They even need some doctor visits. So we're going to pray
we're going to contact her father, you know, the father that Mustard Seed, the organization. He's asking for anything. He didn't give anything special. They are even asking what their food is. He said they anything. He doesn't know special, but they need everything. So I'm going to contact them tomorrow. And whatsoever we can do by the grace of God, I sure we will.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Mama Powell, because we, like you said, we know you take care of children, adults. If you have it, they have it. So we will do our best. So thank you once again, and especially for bringing it to the prayer line, because we say we love God. And God said what he said. Care, thank you once again. Amen. So we're going to open the other lines. We want to thank Sister Power and Sister Jones for coming on, and especially with such touching of just these little ones. But what Christ said, suffer these little ones not to come, to come unto him. He wants those children to come to him. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Okay, brothers and sisters, we're going to open the next line. We're going to open the line for 423-635. Your line is open. We know that
Amen.
You have to work. Amen?
Amen.
So go ahead,
yes. Hi, good evening. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you.
Good evening, brothers and sisters. This is Sister Carlin calling from Tennessee. I'm just thanking the Lord for another day. I'm thanking him for his goodness, his mercy, and his love towards each and every one of us. As I heard Sister Powell, you know, what's going on there in Jamaica, how the people are coming in. And we know we're in the last days, and these things will be happening more. Distress of nation, wars, rumors of wars, violence going on. People are fleeing for their life, and soon we will be in that, you know, a part of that, not having a home to lay our head like Jesus was. The bird had nest, the fox had hole, but he didn't have a place to lay his head. And soon, if we continue on, we will be put out and we will be amongst the vagabond on the earth. But praise the Lord for health and strength that he has given us in wisdom and knowledge for us to prepare for these things. And also, as I was reading an article about April the 8th, we know we're supposed to have a clip behind this. A lot of things going to happen. But one thing I've been recently reading about or looking at a video about is about Israel. They have, I think, about four or five red heifer around the age of 2 years old. These are the red cows, heifer, and they're still, you know, they don't believe that Jesus had came, so they're going to do a sacrifice. And, you know, they're already having their priest train, and they want to build a temple in Jerusalem and, you know, waiting for the Messiah to come. And the Muslim, they already have a temple in the spot that they want to build it. So, of course, they're going to have to destroy that to build their temple. And it's just going to be a whole lot of confusion, a lot of wars, a lot of killing, because the Islamic, they're, you know, those people, I guess they're, I forgot the brother, Moses' other son. Moses' other son, but they're of his tribe, of his lineage. So may the Lord help us to be ready and to know that Jesus has fulfilled everything. We don't have to slaughter no heifer. We don't have to do anything. He has done it all, and the veil was rent, so we don't need to go to no priest. He is the way, you know, he's the only way. And we have to Amen. Trust him, knowing that he is our overcomer. He's our, as I was reading about the Passover, you know, he has done it all for us. We just have to trust him, because in the name of Jesus, there's strength. So thank you, Sister Leola, for opening up my line. Please keep me in prayer as I'm heading to work. And those that we were feeding yesterday, the homeless, it was a blessing. We went out to feed them, and we were able to set up at a transitional house and just feed the homeless and encourage them. We had books, prayer with them, and it was such a blessing. And we're going to continue to go there once a month, and we'll have other places to go to find those that are homeless and don't know Christ. So thank you again. Amen.
Thank you, Sister Carla. I've been listening to that. I have listened. And his name is Ishmael, and that's Moses' other son that was before Isaac. So, but you know what, my brothers and sisters, they are saying things and doing things, but boy, we got to keep our eyes on Christ, because you know what, world is all about all kinds of craziness, as Sister Powell was saying also. All these things going on in the world, we got to keep our eyes on what Christ said. Keep your eyes on me, he said, because they're going to say that he's over here, he's over there. He said, no, keep your eyes on me, stay steadfast prayer, and watch for me. So I'm thanking the Lord that I study my Bible, and I know what he says. So keep praying, sister, because we know that all these things, the Bible says, will take place before he comes. And that's what I want to read, impending conflict later. So we're going to open the next line, but we want to thank Sister Carla for coming on and sharing, because I watched about Israel and those heifers. And so, brothers and sisters, let us keep our eyes on Jesus, because you know what? He's our Passover. He is the only one, and that's what we know. Amen. So let me open the next line. Thank you, Sister Carla. And we just pray that God give you safe traveling mercy. Okay, we're going to open the next line, brothers and sisters. We open the line for 843-206. Your line is open. Amen. And you can give us your name and where you're calling from.
Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line, Sister Sister Leola. This is Sister Tamiko from Florida. God bless you all, and I'm so happy to be here tonight. I'm thanking the Lord always for taking good care of me and my family and blessing us with many blessings and providing us a church to go to that's loving and kind. So I thank God for that. And I definitely want to share Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. So I just wanted to share that. I do have a song to sing, but I'm not sure if you have room for me, because I know there's other people that want to speak and give their praise, support, and testimony.
Right. That's
Amen.
Right.
But so thank you so much for opening my line. I love you all. God bless.
But hold that, and you can give us the song just before we go into prayer. Amen. So we want to thank
Amen.
Tamiko. Yeah, you can be able to sing it before we go into prayer. So thank you, my sister, and God bless. And we're going to go to the next, because we got quite a few hands up, and we asking, brothers and sisters, be patient. I will get to you each one at a time. Let us open this next line, 985-647. Your line is open. Can you give us your name and where you're calling? Amen.
Good evening, sisters and brothers. This is Sister Brenda calling from Houma, Louisiana. I just want to thank God for me being able to get on the line today. I thank God for my for this pneumonia. I feel better now. Look like I'm getting through the weather. I thank God for rescuing me, giving me strength, giving me through it. That felt like the weather. Oh, God, I wouldn't wish that on an enemy. That was so horrible. And, I mean, I didn't even knew it was nothing because, like doctors said, you had no fever, you had no nothing. So you really didn't know it was there. I thought it had been a cold because it's been a month. And I didn't really know I had pneumonia. So, you know, and after I got to him, he started treating me, got worse and worse. Still didn't get no fever or nothing, but the pain came. Oh, the pain came with the coughing. Coughing, wouldn't stop. I coughed all night, all day, for two or three days. And I mean, I hurt so bad. Oh, Lord, it was just... I just thank the Lord. All I called was the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. I call him so much till I know they got tired. But they rescued me finally. And I thank the Lord for saving me because, you know, 3 weeks, you know, people going with pneumonia would have been dead. But, you know, He sent me a sign and told me that I needed to get to a doctor. I'll tell you, what a God we serve. I mean, look like I don't be knowing anything, but he gives me the sign. And he said, the doctor, he said, remember COVID? Go to the doctor. And I went to the doctor, and Doctor say, give you COVID pneumonia test, neither one of them. COVID and flu, neither one of them. He said, pneumonia. I said, oh, thank you, Lord. Because we can't help ourselves when we're in a different state of mind. And he just told me. And I, all of a sudden, I went to a doctor, been sick, and I tasted, the taste would be in my stomach, but I just couldn't get it up. It wouldn't move. And I'm like, Lord, what is this taste? And it won't come up. I don't know what it is. But Lord, you know, and I just leave it to you. And I just leave it to you. I just kept praying. And, you know, and he took charge. So I thanked the Lord that I was back. And I said, Lord, I put on my brothers and sisters. I kept watching this phone. I said, I got to keep up with the time. I can't let the time go by. I got to watch it. So I just thanked the Lord. I'm going to read just quick a prayer, and that'll be it. Father, thank you for blessing my life in so many ways. Please help me to be a faithful steward of the resources that you have given me. Open my eyes to the needed around me so that I may share with them out of the portion that you have given me. Use me to share your love for the sake of your kingdom and your glory of your name. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. And I just want to pray for all my brothers and sisters on this line, off this line. Pray for the ones traveling on a bed of affliction and wherever else they may be. Pray for Sister Power, congregation and all she's doing in Jamaica. And please keep each and every one in prayer, and we pray one for another. God bless. Amen.
Brother John.
Hello, hello to everyone. This is our Brother John from Houma, Louisiana. Yeah, I just want to say thank God. Thank you, Sister Brenda. And she's doing a lot better. It's like a miracle, because I've been around her, you know, and stuff like that, and watching her go through the stages and everything and helping her out, you know, as much as I could. And she sounds so much better, you know. It's like a miracle, really, from where she started off at. So, once again, the Lord fixed this whole obstacle and became like a footstool. And she keep on moving on, you know. Thank God for that. And I hope everyone else is having a blessed evening today. And God bless. Amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Sister Brenda and Brother John, Sister Brenda, for your testimony. And we do know, as all these things you learn on the prayer line, take heed, my sister, and use those herbs as you have been taught on the prayer line to help yourself alone, because God said he gave these leaves and trees for the healing of the body. So if you would just take them in and use them to keep up your immune, to build your immune and to keep those things away, do that for yourself and not always taking a medicine. So God will help you when doing this, okay? So God bless, and I thank you, Brother John, for coming on and sharing with us. God bless. And let us open the next line for the next one. Amen. We have 518-744. You had pressed 1, and we was trying to get to you, but we do want you to share. If you will still be able to share, please.
Yes, Sister Leola, this is Brother Rick, and I'm right in the middle of something, but I'll be done in just about 2 minutes, and I'll be happy to come on in.
Okay, well,
I'm going to go to the next, and we're going to open your line after. So, brothers
okay.
and sisters, okay, Brother Rick. All right, then. We're going to open the line for 518-650.
Hello,
you can
everybody.
Be able to speak. Amen. Go ahead, Sister Bonnie.
Hello, everybody. Good evening. I was in Jamaica for a few weeks. I came back. Thank God he have carried me through safe and bring me back safe. I just want to say God is good to me. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth forever. I just want to sing a song and pray. This is my Father's world, and to all listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the spheres. This is my Father's world. I rest me in the thought of rocks and trees, of skies and seas, each hand the wonders wrought. This is my Father's word. The birds their corals raise, the morning light, the lily white, declare their Maker's praise. This is my Father's word. He shines in all that fair. In the rustling grass I hear him pass. He speaks to me everywhere. This is my Father's word. Oh, let me ne'er forget that though the wrong seems up so strong, God is a ruler yet. This is my Father's word. Why should my heart be sad? The Lord is King, let the heaven ring. God reigns, let the earth be glad.
Amen. Sister Bonnie, can you hold on to prayer? And then I will ask you to give the prayer after everyone finished sharing.
Okay.
I got two more that want to share, baby.
Okay.
And I'm going to ask you to give the prayer for us. Amen. Thank you, Sister Bonnie. For that song, This Is Our Father's World. I believe that is correct. That's the song?
Yes.
Okay. I just want to thank God because this is his world, Sister Bonnie, and I'm glad to know that the word of God says it, and we can be in his world, in this world, but not of this world. I want to thank God for that. Amen. So thank you, Sister Bonnie, and I'm coming back to you. So we're going to open the next line. Amen? We're going to open. Give me just a second. We're going to open 518. Are you ready?
Yes.
518-744. Okay, amen. You can go ahead, Brother Rick.
All right. Thank you, Sister Leola, for opening the line. I've just been listening to everyone, and, wow, a lot going on tonight, and that's just great. I just... thanking the Lord for another day. We had quite a snowstorm yesterday. Our church was closed because we had probably 8 inches of snow by the time church started, and then we got another 8 inches after that. So we spent a quiet home yesterday, my wife and I did, and it was just beautiful out, the white snow falling, and when it was all done, everything was perfectly white. I mean, it's just like a blanket over everything. It's just so beautiful. And I know it is a lot of work, though. I had to go out and clean it up. But God gives us strength, and he gives us all that we need. I'm just thanking him for that. I was interested in what Sister Carla had said. She was talking about the red heifers. And I don't know if anyone else caught that, but Sister Carla mentioned the fact that these people are waiting for Christ to come. They don't believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Savior, and so they are waiting for another Christ to come. And if you think about that, they want to rebuild this third temple over there in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount, which right now there's a big Muslim mosque there. So to rebuild that, they would have to get rid of that mosque, which we know would that would not be an easy thing to do. There would be a lot of fighting over that. But when you think about that, sister, what is going on right now? There is war going on right now with Hamas and the Palestinians in Israel, and that war is being fed by our government, the people in our government. I was just listening to the presentation, and Mike Johnson, who is the Speaker of the House, has been over there along with many other high government officials, Mike Pence, many other lawmakers from our country, and they did this secretly. They did not go over with the government. They went over there, it was paid for by the Zionist organizations in Israel, which they are very right-wing. They want that Temple Mount. They want that temple to be built. And so they are getting these men to come over, and they're talking to them about that. And of course, these men that come from this country are going to have the money to do this. But they, you know, they're getting that red heifer ready. The red heifer was for the sacrifice on the Day of Atonement. It had to be a perfect animal. It had to be red. It had to be, I believe it had to be 2 years old. I mean, there was a lot of specifications for that in the Old Testament. You can read that. I'm not sure if it's in Exodus or if that's in Leviticus, but it talks all about that. And they are also waiting for this Christ to come. Now, if you read in the Great Controversy, Satan is going to come as Christ. His voice is going to be beautiful. It's going to sound like music. He's going to appear as an angel of light. You know that his name Lucifer, when he was in heaven, means light bearer, and he still hasn't lost the ability to make himself look that way, but we know that he is not the light bearer. So these people are setting themselves up for deception, to be deceived by Satan into believing that he is the Christ, and we must be ever watchful, ever studying and praying, and it is going to be our relationship with Jesus that is going to get us through. Not knowing all these events, knowing about them is a good thing, but just knowing them isn't enough. Need that relationship with Jesus. So I just wanted to share just a quick couple verses here, sister, that I had. It was in the Psalms, and it was Psalm 37, and it says here, "Wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, they shall see it, or thou shalt see it. I have seen the wicked in great power, and spreading himself like a green bay tree. Yet he passed away, and lo, he was not. Yes, I saw him, but he could not be found. Mark the perfect man, and behold the upright. For at the end of that man is peace. But the transgressors shall be destroyed together, and the end of the wicked shall be cut off. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is their strength in the time of trouble, and the Lord shall help them, deliver them. He shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him." And I just love those verses, sister, because that is the time that we are fast approaching. The wicked will be trying to cut off the righteous. But as the scripture says, the Lord will cut off the wicked, and he will save the righteous. They will inherit this earth. They will inherit the kingdom of heaven. So let's be faithful and continue on seeking and searching out God so that we can be in that number that are faithful and that are going to heaven. So I just thank you, sister, for opening my line. And God bless each one of you. Please pray for my family, my wife, my children. and I will continue to pray for you. Thank you.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Brother Rick. I'm going to have to call you because I didn't hear as clear about some of that and to get a little bit more information. But I just want to thank you for what I've heard, because as you were saying that, we know that that what they are preparing for, that's in what you was reading, we're talking about the red heifer, that's in Numbers 19 and I think verses 6, it's in 19. But what they are preparing for is the setup for deception. And first of all, there's no real priest there. Whatever they're doing, and they are sacrificing an animal, Christ said when he gave his life, what happened to that animal? That thing was ripped from top to bottom. The animal got up and ran. It was done. That's finished.
Yes.
All this stuff they're talking about, waiting on that temple to be built, and then they know something else going to happen, and all this craziness. I'm telling you, I just said, thank God I know the word for myself. So, Brother Rick, thank you for bringing that to us, and we're going to go and open the line for others so we can pray. We need prayer. We need prayer to stay focused.
Amen.
Amen. So thank you once again, my brother, and God bless. And we're going to, Sister Bonnie, going to be bringing us the prayer. But I got one more line that I need to open. Let me make sure we're going to open this line. We're going to ask that you be brief. Amen. So 857-505, your line is open. Go ahead, brother.
Oh, amen. Hello, Sister Miola. Hello, everyone on the prayer line. My name is Brother Eli. I like to give God thanks and praise because he's worthy to be praised. Sister Miola and everyone on the prayer line, I have a prayer request. Sister Miola and everyone, my prayer request today is to pray for my mom because yesterday was my mom's birthday, Sister Miola. So I want everyone to lift up my mom in prayer, please. And Sister Miola, my prayer request is to pray for myself. And Sister Miola, I'm asking for Sister Barnaby to lift up Sister Sabrina in prayer. Lift up Sister Sabrina in prayer, Sister Barnaby. Sister Barnaby, do not forget to pray for Sister Sabrina, please, because Sister Sabrina needs deliverance. Sister Sabrina needs the victory. Sister Sabrina too, and the job too. She's a staff member, so please lift up Sister Sabrina that she will rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm praying for Sister Sabrina that God will deliver her. God will deliver her tonight, Sister Miola. And Sister Miola, my dear sister, and Sister Sabrina on this prayer line at this moment, God will give her the victory. God will give her the deliverance. God have a special message for her in the mighty name of Jesus. God will give her victory in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen.
Amen, amen. And now, brothers and sisters, Brother Eli has requested Sister Barnaby mother a prayer for his mother and himself and Sabrina. And please lift up my family, especially my granddaughter, Sister Power lift up earlier. Lift up those children that's dealing with such hard times that coming from Haiti or even the ones that's in Haiti. Lift them up because we hear that so much of war and all kinds of things going on there. You know, we're going to see it soon, but by God's grace, we are able to help now or to do what we can now, do what we can, and especially prayers for them. And we have our brothers and sisters that's usually on this prayer line, Sister Powell. We have Sister Tamiko. We're going to open Sister Tamiko for just a short song. We have Sister Brenda, Brother John, Brother Eli, Brother Rick and his family, Sister Katie, Sister Carla, Brother O'Neill, Sister Leola. We have so many. But Sister Barnaby, if you can just do a general. But I'm going to open up Sister Tamiko. She's going to give us a short song before you bring the prayer. So let us open her line. Sister Tamiko, we opening your line for you to bring a song before Sister Barnaby pray.
Okay. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for opening my line. Amen. Okay. So I'm looking for a short song. Well, I found one, but I'm not sure if it's short. It's taken from Exodus 32:26. Then Moses stood in the gate of the camp and said, "Who is on the Lord's side? Let him come to me." Amen. Once with confusion our sad hearts were filled, drinking the cup of religion distilled. But with happiness our hearts were filled, when of God's kingdom we heard. Take Isaac Jehovah, make him your delight. He'll never forsake you, walk on in his light. Tell the glad tidings of freedom and peace. Israel by Christ Jesus will ever increase. Shoulder to shoulder we stand on God's side, preaching the news of his kingdom earthwide. Now is the time for each one to decide. Time to take sides with our God. Take sides with Jehovah. Make him your delight. He'll never forsake you. Walk on in his light. Tell the glad tidings of freedom and peace. Israel by Christ Jesus will ever increase. We will not fear what the devil can do. Trusting Jehovah will carry us through. Though they are many and though we are few, God is our strength and our light. Take sides with Jehovah. Make him your delight. He'll never forsake you. Walk on in his light. Tell the glad tidings of freedom and peace. Israel by Christ Jesus will ever increase. Amen. Thank you so much for opening my line. God bless. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Beautiful song. Take time with Jehovah because you know what? He's our Father. Amen. Okay, we're going to open the line for Sister Barnaby, and she's going to bring us our prayer. Amen. Give me just a second, Sister. Amen. Sister Barnaby, your line is open, and now you can bring us our prayer. You heard the request, many requests. You can go ahead with your prayers. Amen. And brothers and sisters, if we can be in prayer with our sister and mother. Amen.
This is my Father's word. And to my listening ears, all nature rings and round me rings, music of the spear. Lord, this world belongs to you, God. You are Father. You are God. You are King. You are everything to us. Come before you this evening. Nothing in our hands we bring, but simple to you we come. Lord, if there's anything in me that is unlike you, Lord, I'm asking you to remove it, to destroy it, God, so that as I pray on behalf of your people, My prayer may come up to you as sweet incense, and the blessing may come down, O God, and heal and deliver your people. Father God, I put Eli before you this evening, Lord. He's always faithful on the line. Asking for prayer for his mother. I put him along with his mother into your hand this evening. Lord, I'm asking you to draw near to them, O God, and help them to draw near to you with an open heart so that you may give them the deliverance that they need. Heavenly Father, I put this young lady that he called her name. Lord, you know the name, and you hear the name, God. So I'm praying on behalf of her. Open doors for her, God. Provide jobs for her. Lord, if there's anything in her that is unlike you, Lord, rebuke, remove, and destroy it so that whatever she do may be a blessing. I put each and every one into your hand this evening that is on this line, Lord. You know our name, you know our nature, you know everything about us. Oh God, wash us and cleanse us, anoint us, purify us. Take away self, take away sin, take away pride. Oh God, help us to come boldly before the throne of grace so that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You is a great deliverer. You never fail, passion fail not, it is due every morning. God, great is your faithfulness. I put each and every one into your hand again, God. Lord, you see, you know, we are your children. Nothing in our hands we bring, but simple to do we come, and worthy and holy and done nothing good. But God, because of your grace and your mercy, we are alive and on this line. I put all the children in Jamaica into your hand, not only the children in Jamaica, but all over the world, God. So many things are happening, not Jamaica alone. Father, into your hand I put every mother, every father, every child in diverse places all over the world, God, because so many things are happening. Sometimes we wonder what is going on. But God, you said to look up because redemption draw at night. I'm asking you, God, to heal the sick, Father, to feed the hungry, to clothe the naked, to open shelter for the homeless. All over the world, in all the churches, oh God, in my church, there are so many sick. I'm asking you to touch Pastor Coleman, Janet Charles, oh God, Brother Simpson, Father God, who was in the hospital and is gone home today. Now Janet is in the hospital, and Pastor Coleman is at home recuperating. God, so many are sick, oh God, all of us are sick. Lord, we need you, God. We need you. Help us to put away pride, to put away self, to put away sin, so that we may receive the blessing you have, O God, and you may cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, be with this line again. You are everything to us. We have no one else to call upon but you, because you is our guide, you is our shield, you is our strength. Nothing in our hands we bring, but simple to you we come, because we know you is a holy God. And whatever we ask, oh God, you say to ask, and it shall be given. Seek, and we will find. Knock, oh God, and the door will be open. Help us to open our heart to you, God, to call upon you, to meditate on you. There's no time now to lurk around and to look around, but to look up, because redemption draw at night. Father God, be with the speaker tonight as he speak. Let him not be seen, but let you be seen. And the word that he speak, let it come from you, Lord. Continue to be with us in a special way. Lord, all over the world in diverse places, in Haiti, so many things are happening all up, everywhere, God, everywhere, everywhere, everywhere. You are everywhere at the same time, and you know everything that is going on. Just because we have to pray, we pray. But God, you know, you see, and you are a mighty God. You say the earth is yours and the fullness thereof, and all of us in the world belong to you because you put us here for our purpose. So, Lord, help us to walk where you walk, to talk what you talk, We want to be like you in mind, body, and spirit. We want to be a Christian. We want to be loving. We want to be holy. We want to be like Jesus. Father, continue to bless us, God, to guide us, to have your way in our life, and let your will be done according to your will. I pray and I give you thanks with thanksgiving. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen, amen, amen. And brothers and sisters, Brother Akeem is not on just yet, and I'm going to just give another prayer. Thank you, Sister Barnaby, for the prayer that you offered, and I will just offer another short prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you, Lord, lingering a little longer, Lord, as our sister, our mother, offer these prayers. Lord, Father, we are seconding the prayer that she offered to you. And, Father, we just want to add some names to it, Lord. Father, we, Lord, your daughter, Sister Stephanie, Lord, Father, she's there and with her job. And, Lord, we know what you're doing through her and in her, that she is the shining light for you, Father. And we just pray that you hover over her to keep her safe, protected, and, Lord, keep her from all hurt, harm, or danger. And, Father, we ask that you bless her. Give her wisdom and give her knowledge, Lord, Father, that she stands in need of, Lord. Lord, because we know the enemy is always at work. So please be with her, Lord, as she is traveling and even working for you and sharing your word. And Heavenly Father, we lift up Sister Katie to you, Father, asking that you continue to be with our grandchildren, Lord, Father. You see the situation, Lord, Father, and that the grandchildren is still need you, Lord. Lord, they've been having the little heart little problem, but God, we know you are able and you are healer. Lord, as these children grow up to be men and women, Lord, I have heard things have changed for children as they got older. So, Lord, you can heal them little small problems. You are able to do anything but fail. So continue to work in them, Jesus, and healing them, and especially the baby that had his leg. So I continue to pray for him and lift him up. Bless their grandmother, Lord, and be with their father as he continues to work. Their mother, Lord, help each and every one. Lord, we lift up Sister Brenda as she continues, Lord, as Sister Bonnie has offered prayers. Lord, she was speaking of certain sister, but she don't know the name. But Lord, continue to work in Sister Brenda, Lord, as she has been thanking you so much for healing her. And bless Brother John, because we seen what you did through Brother John and with Brother John. So thank you, Father, for letting your glory show on this prayer line. Lord, I'm praying for Sister Carla. I'm also lifting up Sister Tamika and her children. I'm lifting up, Lord Jesus, as you continue with her son that's in prison. Lord, Father, we lift up her husband, blessing you, blessing him, Father, with lead and guide him. Heavenly Father, we lift up Sister Power. Lord, Sister Power and her being there in Jamaica, taking care of every little situation that go on. Lord, Father, I'm so glad that you sent a darkest, a mother to take care of the youth and just see to the things that need to be seen to there in Jamaica. I'm asking you, Lord, for a financial blessing to continue to work in Jamaica, that she would be able to continue building that home and even taking care of the Williams and all the others in Jamaica. Father, so many. I'm asking for the blessing with Pastor Akeem tonight as he bring the word to us, Lord. Bless him tonight, Lord, Father, and let him bring the word that he needs to give to us. And, Lord, we will not leave Brother Rick out and his family, Father. I'm continuing to ask you, Lord, to be with his wife, strengthen her, and let her know that, you know, the husband you gave to her, Lord, he is a loving. Oh, Lord, we all love Brother Rick on this prayer line. He's such a godly and a gifted man. So we lift him up to you that you continue to bless him. And, Lord, as he's getting up and down that roof, I'm asking that you keep him and keep him protected and safe. Father, thank you. Lord Jesus, I don't remember Brother Eli, all the names, Sister Barnaby. Lord Jesus, she asked that you keep her family and herself. And she's thanking you so much for giving her that traveling mercy back home, Lord Father. So, and we thank you for this prayer line. Oh, bless us, Lord. And I'm thanking you for my grandbaby that's been born, Lord Jesus. You answer the prayers that my sisters and brothers been praying for this grandbaby. Lord, thank you, Jesus, for what you have done. You delivered this baby, and my granddaughter didn't even have to have surgery. Oh, thank you, Father, for all your blessings on this prayer line. Oh, Lord, keep us and let us hear the word of God tonight. I'm asking that you let our ears be attentive to your word. And Lord, wherever we fall short, Lord, forgive us of our sins and allow the Holy Spirit to work with us and help us and strengthen us, Father. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. Thank you, brothers and sisters, for being so patient. And I hope I have not forgotten anyone. If I've forgotten anyone, Lord, you know the name and what they have need of. So thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, sisters and brothers. So let us see whether our pastor, King James, he will be coming to bring us the word by God's grace. He is not here yet. So let us just have Sister Powell. Let's see if she could just give us a song, because sometimes she brings some beautiful songs. Sister Powell, are you there? Sister Powell? She's probably on mute. Sister Powell, are you there? You can give us a song. Let me make sure you can hear me. Okay, we're going to see if Sister Tamika can give us another song. Sister Power is not there. Sister Tamika, you can give another short song until Brother King Jones come back. Sister Tamika?
Yes, my sister. I can do that. Praise God.
Okay, amen. Give us another song. And until I see Brother King James, and by the time he comes, by the time you finish this song, he should be there. Amen?
Amen. Praise the Lord, my sister. I'm looking now. Okay. I have one now. It's taken from Luke 16:16. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry. Firm and determined in this time of the end, prepared of our servants the goodness to defend. The devil has fought and opposed them. With Jehovah they take their stand against him. Then forward, your witnesses, have a strong heart. Rejoice that in God's word you too may have a part. Go tell far and wide that the paradise is near, and that soon all his blessings will be here. Servants of Jah, do not seek the life of ease. The world and its rulers, they do not try to please. Aspire in at all such remaining. Our integrity we will keep maintaining. Then forward your witnesses, have a strong heart. Rejoice that in God's word you too may have a part. Go tell far and wide that the paradise is near, and that soon all its blessings will be here. God and his kingdom are mocked and pushed aside. His great name is slandered, his holiness denied. Let's share in his sanctification and declare it to every tribe and nation. Then forward, your witnesses, have a strong heart. Rejoice that in God's word you too may have a part. Go tell far and wide that the paradise is near, and that soon all his blessings will be Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And let me get back to this reading if Brother Akeem is not here. I was supposed to have read something from Great Controversy, and I will read that right quick if Brother Akeem is not here. So let me just share that with you. Let me make sure. Brother Akeem is not here. So, brothers and sisters, I had something that I wanted to share. Don't you know? You know, I did not realize impending. Have you ever read chapter 36 in Great Controversy? You know, that I was reading it earlier, and the thought on this chapter, impending conflict, it just hit me that when she said impending conflict, these are things that's coming and what's going to happen in this world. So let me just read you this conflict. Thank you to enemy. Let me get it. Okay, we got it. Okay, we got it. So let's look at this. And it says, in seeking to cast a contempt upon the divine statutes, Satan has perverted the doctrines of the Bible, and error has thus became incorporated into the faith of thousands who profess to believe the scriptures. The last great conflict between truth and error is but the final struggle of the long-standing controversy concerning the law of God. Upon this battle, we are now entering a battle between the law of men of Jehovah, between the religious of the Bible and the religious of fable and tradition. Now, I want to take you to a different part here. And it says, those who teach the people to regard lightly the commandments of God, so disobedient to reap disobedience. Now, sisters and brothers, I'm reading you Great Controversy, and in chapter 36, the impending conflict. Those who teach the people to regard lightly the commandments of God, so disobedient to reap disobedience, lest the restraint imposed by the divine law be wholly cast aside, and restraint imposed by the Let the restraint imposed by the divine law be wholly cast aside, and human law would soon be disregarded because God forbid dishonesty practice. Converting, lying, and defrauding men are ready to trample upon his statutes as a hindrance to their worldly prosperity. But the result of the banish these precepts would be such as they do not anticipate. If the law were not binding, why should any fear to transgress? Prosperity would no longer be safe. Men would obtain their neighbor's possessions by violence, and the strongest would become rich. Life itself would not be respected. Oh, sisters and brothers, stop there, but I'm going to go to this next one. I'm going to this next paragraph. talk about something here. It says, though the two great errors, the immortality of the soul and Sunday sacredness, Satan will bring the people under a deception, while the former lays the foundation of spiritualism and the latter create a bond of sympathy with Rome. The Protestants of the United States will be foremost in the stretch their hand across the gulf to grasp the hand of spiritualism. They will reach over the abyss to clasp hands with the Roman power. And under the influence of this threefold union, this country will follow in the step of Rome and trampling on the rights of conscience. Sisters and brothers, isn't that happening now? So, okay, brother, let me see. Brother Akeem, if you are here, press 1. Okay, I see Brother Akeem, brothers and sisters. So let us open his line. Brothers and sisters, open the line for Pastor Akeem. He is here. And Pastor Akeem, you may go ahead with your word tonight, for tonight. Amen.
Amen. Amen. All right. Well, praise the Lord. Indeed, Sister Leola, we are seeing those things happening. We're seeing the aspect of Protestantism initiating this connection between Papal Rome. Ultimately, that will happen as well, and spiritualism. And ultimately, all this done in connection with the state, the church leading the state, which, as inspiration tells us, will lead to the repudiation of all of the principles of our Constitution as a Protestant and Republican government. And so as we go into this, I wanted to, as promised, continue our study of the subject of UFOs. Because what I want to bring out from this is that there are agencies around us seeking to prepare us for this time that is to come, spanning from earth all the way to heaven. And so let's have a word of prayer as we start. Father in heaven, bless our minds and our hearts. Give us wisdom and understanding and help us to avail ourselves of the power that you have made available to us. We pray and we ask these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. So 2 weeks ago, what we found out was that there was a project that was initiated by Congress, according to Washington Post. This article was posted in June 8, 2021. The article was posted, UFOs and National Security, with Luis Elizondo, former director, Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, a program that was organized to help us to understand and answer the question, are we alone? The way that we know this is because the Washington Post put out an official article. So this is not something that's hearsay. It says there is a bipartisan push in Congress to find out once and for all, are we alone? It isn't a philosophical query, but a demand to disclose any information the U.S. government has been gathering on unidentified aerial phenomenon, UAPs, also popularly known as UFOs. Last December, as part of the omnibus spending and coronavirus relief package, Congress stipulated a report conducted by multiple agencies must be handed over this month, that was approximately in June 2021, with detailed analysis of UAP sightings by U.S. military members. Luis Elizondo is the former director, notice the former director, of the Advanced Aerospace Threat Identification Program, an unpublicized U.S. government program created when, even though the article was made in 2021, by that time, Luis Elizondo was the former director of the AATIP program. When was the government program created? It was an unpublicized U.S. government program created in 2007, committed to the investigation of UAPs. Now, as we looked at some of the things about those UFOs that had been seen, encounters with UFOs by Air Force pilots. Some of the things that we found out was that over the past 2 years, the government has reported over 144 contacts with UFOs by military pilots. Only one of them was seen to be a balloon. They can turn around, so these objects that they're seeing in the sky, sometimes depending on how close that plane is to the water, the camera can actually pick up the UFO object flying right above the water, going under it, and then coming out of it. They can also turn around in a second or turn at an angle in a moment. And in 11 instances, USA airline pilots said that they had near misses with UFOs, meaning near misses from collision, because those things can turn fast. It takes the average fighter jet a while to turn around. These UFOs can turn at an angle in a moment, even though they're going at top speed. Maybe not even at top speed, but they're going at the speed of the fighter jet, or even faster, and they could turn at an angle in a moment. Now, one of the things that we found out is that as we looked at the story of Job from Job 1, we covered this already, Job 2, and Job 38, is that we found out that God had a council in the heavenly realms. The way that we know it was there is because in Job 1 and Job 2, the devil told God that he came from walking to and fro in the earth and going up and down in it. That is a way of saying, I own the earth. This is why God follows up by saying, but have you considered Job, though? He's not following you. And so the devil was basically showing up in that council as the conqueror of earth, as the representative of this planet. And how would he become the representative? Except that he had taken it from someone who it was originally given to. And you remember, according to Genesis chapter 1, and specifically verse 26, what do we find there? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26 tells us the following. It says, and God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth on the earth. So notice, when man was made, what was he given? Dominion over everything on the earth. The fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. But the moment that Adam sinned in Genesis chapter 3, the earth fell. And it became the jurisdiction of the enemy. This is one of the reasons why in the New Testament, what does Jesus call the enemy? He calls him a number of times in the Gospels, the prince of this world. Paul calls him the prince of the power of the air. So what we're realizing, of course, there was a shift at the cross when Christ redeemed the world for himself. And of course, God is always ruler, but in the sense of those who were following Satan, everyone now being born with a sinful nature, the devil was able to pull on that sinful nature until how many people fell? All have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. So this is why the Redeemer came into the world to get the world back and to redeem ultimately the human family. So he is now the representative of the earth, but that doesn't mean, as Paul says in the New Testament, after the crucifixion, that the devil is not still the prince of the power of the air. In other words, one who rules in heavenly realms. What is the heavenly realm? The idea is in the spiritual realm, in a world that we cannot see. It is right around us. It is a universe right next to us as we stand, but we cannot see it. It is hidden to our eyes. Inspiration says if God were to pull the veil back and we were to see the warfare over our souls, it will sober us to the core, but we can't see it. So there's a warfare in the heavenly realms, in heavenly places. What does that mean? In the spiritual realm. And so in light of that, one of the things that we're seeing is that the devil came to the council as the representative of earth. So therefore, what we learned last time through a number of things that we looked at is that then the other sons of God at that council must have been representatives of other territories, of other domains, of other worlds. And are there other worlds? We saw that in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, because it told us there in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, the following. Speaking of Jesus, the author of the universe, the creator of worlds. It says in Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, God, who has sun-dried times and in diverse manners, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, watch this, by whom he hath appointed, whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made what? The worlds, plural. So there are other worlds in the universe that were created by Christ. And so, but not only that, in connection with Job, we are seeing that there are beings who rule over those worlds. And so in light of this, friends, we're coming to the reality that there are other worlds and they are representatives of those other worlds. Now, it's interesting because in Job chapter 1 and Job chapter 2, the phrase used for these other, for these representatives, devil came being the representative of this world, whereas Adam should have been the one coming. This is why you read in Luke chapter 3 and verse 38, going through the genealogy of Jesus all the way back to Adam, it calls Adam the son of God, right? The son of God by creation, not by adoption. We are children of God by adoption, adopted into the family of God. But Adam was the son of God in a different way. He was the son of God by creation. Later on, by adoption, in the sense that after he sinned, he repented. But on the first stage, as we're looking from the creation standpoint, Adam is called the son of God by creation. He was the son of God that should have been at that council, along with the other sons of God, representing our planet, since he was given with Eve dominion over this territory. But friends, because the devil, through Adam sinning, gained power over the world, Adam showed up as the representative. And these other sons of God as representatives of other worlds could not push him out. I heard somebody say one time, why couldn't God just cast him out? Why couldn't God just forbid him from coming to that council? But no, there are legal aspects within the great controversy, friends. And this is why God did not at that time, notice I said at that time, prohibit Satan from entering into that heavenly council. And so he goes there, these other sons of God are representatives of other worlds, but I want you to see who these other sons of God actually are. All right? Now, if you're reading, it's powerful because, man, the spirit of prophecy is so powerful. We're going to see how powerful it is. So many of you may not have heard of this, but there is a writing called the Septuagint. It is still the Bible, but the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. And it was done by 70 Jewish scholars. All right? So the Septuagint is not another book. It's not the Apocrypha or some other writing. No. It is the Greek translation of the Old Testament scriptures done by Jewish scholars, 70 of them. When the Septuagint translates from Hebrew, the Greek expression in Job chapter 1, sons of God, you know what it translates it as in the Greek? It says the angels of God. So this is very interesting. What the Septuagint is revealing here, this Greek translation of the Old Testament, from the Hebrew, is that the sons of God are actually angelic beings. Angelic beings, nonetheless, that have high-ranking positions. This is why there's not only principalities and powers that we wrestle with on earth, that's the devil and his angels, but there are also principalities and powers in heaven that are looking on at what is happening on earth. There are princes that God has given territories. That's not by coincidence what the word principality means, a prince over a state, a prince over a territory. And this is what these sons of God are in Job chapter 1 and 2 and Job chapter 38. They are representatives of territories. But according to the Greek translation of Scripture, of the Old Testament, of Job 1:6 and Job chapter 2, verses 1 to 3, the sons of God is translated as the angels of God. Now what we find, what I find interesting here, one of my friends was mentioning to me, he said, Akeem, but I don't know about that. Because usually we've heard the teaching that the sons of come from that actual world that they represent. They're not angels, but they're actually beings from the world that they're the ruler over. And the example that many people use is, well, look at Adam. Adam was supposed to be the son of God representing our world, and he was the one who was supposed to be at the council had he not fallen, right? And what is Adam? Adam is a human. So he's coming representing our world in that council as one of the beings from our world. He's not an angel. But what many forget is that when Adam was created, and from him and Eve coming the human race, many people have forgotten what was God's original plan for humanity. Inspiration tells us that the creation of man was the creation of a new order of being, not just in time, meaning that he was created after everything else, but in his purpose, mankind is different. And so let's see what was God's purpose for mankind. This is found in the book Truth About Angels. It's a compilation from Ellen White's writings concerning angelic involvement in human affairs from the beginning of the Great Controversy all the way to the end. This is what it says here, Truth About Angels, page 48, paragraph 7. It says here, God created man for his own glory. All right? So the question we're trying to answer is, how could Adam be at the council if the other sons were angels? The question would be, why isn't it an angel that's coming representing earth? So watch this. God created man for his own glory, that after test and trial, the human family might become one with the heavenly family. It was God's purpose, watch this, to repopulate heaven with the human family. Now, remember, why would heaven need to be repopulated? Because a third of the angels fell, you remember. So God was going to make up those places with us. And will he still get his way? Yes, because the statement continues by saying the vacancies made in heaven by the fall of Satan and his angels will be filled with the redeemed of the Lord. Whoa. So what we're realizing here, friends, because I was thinking when I read the statement, I was like, God, but how are you gonna do that? Because you made an entire world for man. So are we gonna be taken out of the world? And ultimately at the second coming we will be. But friends, after the millennium, do you remember what happens? This is why God does not just keep a city, aka heaven, in space. After the millennium, what happens to heaven? Heaven comes down to earth. Angels that remained loyal and human beings that become loyal, that became loyal and are redeemed, they dwell together. This will be the very capital of the entire universe. Jesus is going to literally make this his home. And so this is powerful what we're seeing. This is one of the reasons now why Jesus said in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, when speaking of the resurrection, talking about a woman who had, I believe, about seven husbands, the question was, whose wife shall she be in the resurrection? The Sadducees asked Jesus. And he says, Jesus says, you do not know the power of God. He says, for in the resurrection, the redeemed will be equal with the angels. You can go and read it. It's in the book of Matthew, I believe in chapter 22. Mankind, par. So while mankind was made a little lower than the angels, if he had passed the test And ultimately, when the redeemed do pass the test, it will no longer be just a little lower. We will be on the same level as unfallen angels. This is the promise of God. It's not that we'll be angels, but friends, we will be on the same level of their excellencies. We will be on their very level. That's powerful, friends. Because when you study the ministry of angels and you realize how powerful these beings are, you realize why they're messengers to the rest of the universe. They are a different breed altogether. And so God, in making man, this was God's design for man, that one day he should rise to the level of angels and even beyond. Certain statements in the spirit of prophecy revealed to us. This is why Adam, though not being an angel, could go to the council. Because what was God's destiny for man? To rise on an equal level with the angelic world. And so in light of this, here's what inspiration tells us. You ready for this, friends? I was researching this and I was like, man, God help me. Because I want to make sure that what I'm seeing here is correct. In September 1st, 1959, on April, they didn't mention the date, but April of 2000, on September 1st of 1959, September 1st, 1959, this statement was asked. A question was asked to the Ellen G. White estate concerning the subject, who are the sons of God, all right? And this is powerful because I was looking, I was like, God, it has to be established in two or more witnesses if what I'm seeing here is the truth. And so the question was asked in reference to who are the sons of God in Job 1, verse 6. And they mentioned, we're going to look at that in a little bit, Desire of Ages, page 834. That's the last chapter. It's in the last chapter of Desire of Ages. But the person who was answering the question of the person who found it in Desire of Ages at the Ellen G. White estate, the person said, I have found one other statement that bears out that same point. And this is where we have to understand grammar, friends. It is crucial to understand grammar and the role of punctuation marks, or the role of punctuation marks. So person at the Ellen G. White estate says, I have found one other statement apart from Desire of Ages, and it is found in Great Controversy 518, where I read, and now listen to the statement, powerful. The statement goes as follows, Great Controversy, page 518, it says the following, speaking of Job 1, the council, this is what the servant of the Lord says. The scriptures declare that upon one occasion, when the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord. Now, when you read it in Job, what does it say? It doesn't use the term angels of God. It uses the term what? It uses the term sons of God. It says in Job 1:6, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. But what does inspiration say? The scriptures declare that upon one occasion when the angels of God came to present themselves before the Lord, Satan came also among them, not to bow before the eternal king, but to further his own malicious designs against the righteous. You see that? So what we're seeing here, according to Great Controversy 5:18, Ellen White unlocks the symbol, the symbolic title, Sons of God. Who are these guys? Who are they? People have been trying to find out who are they. It's in inspiration. Once we compare, as we compare scripture with scripture and also testimony with testimony, as we are counseled to, we begin to realize that, whoa, the messenger of the Lord agrees with the Septuagint. What does the Septuagint translate the sons of God as? The angels of God. What does she say in Great Controversy 5:18? The angels of God. So friends, what we're realizing here is that the sons of God, for them to be angels and representatives of unfallen worlds must mean that they are super high-ranking angels. That's why the angels, not only the fallen angels, but the angels of heaven, they are called principalities and powers as well. Because there are levels and ranks. There is a hierarchy within the angelic order. All being angels, but there are different ranks. There are angels to our homes. There are angels in the city. There are angels over nations. There are angels that are commanders in heaven. Inspiration actually tells us that there are also archangels. And this is why I was like, whoa, this is why I said, Lord, I have to be careful, because the papacy also says that there are archangels. The mistake they make, however, the error they make is in naming the archangels, Raphael and all of these different names they give them. We don't know their names. But what the spirit of prophecy does say, which the papacy is correct in, which I only found out a few weeks ago upon typing it into the Ellen G. White app, typing in the word archangels. If you have the Ellen G. White app, I implore you to do that. Type in the word archangels, and you will see a number of statements. Different places where Ellen White says it's not only that they're angels, she says that there are archangels within the angelic order. So Jesus Christ, of course, is the head of them all, but right under him, right beside and under him, because he is God, of course, he's on another level, infinitely different, but right below him and beside him are other archangels, leading, commanding angels. And do you know Ellen White reveals what their purpose is? This is what we are told in Desire of Ages, page 834. And this is the statement that the guy had found when he sent it into the Ellen White estate. Statement of when Jesus was ascending with, for the final time from his apostles, leaving them, giving them the Great Commission. And he's ascending along with those who rose from the dead at his death and came out at his resurrection to testify of his resurrection. Those people, inspiration actually tells us that they were the martyrs of old who died for the cause in the Old Testament. They were raised from the dead and they went up with him. They were never more to die. But they bore witness of him after he rose from the dead. And when he ascended, they went up with him and the angelic host that came to bring him to heaven. Now, as they're coming to heaven, and the portals of heaven open up, Desire of Ages tells us what Jesus and those who he's leading to heaven, what they're seeing. This is what it says here. There is the throne, and around it the rainbow of promise. There are cherubim and seraphim. Now, notice the three titles she uses for one group. She says, the commanders of the angelic host, comma, the sons of God, comma, the representatives of unfallen worlds are assembled. Now that's not three groups, friends, because you remember the sons of God, comma, are the representatives of unfallen worlds. That means the statement before is also part of that sentence. What is the sentence? The commanders of the angel hosts, comma, the sons of God, comma, the representatives of unfallen worlds. So it's not three groups. It's one group. The sons of God are the commanders of the angel host. They are commanding angels that have such authority as to rule over entire worlds. She goes on to say, the heavenly council before which Lucifer had accused God and his son, the representatives of those sinless realms over which Satan had fought to establish dominion, all are there to welcome the Redeemer. So what are we seeing here? What we're seeing here is that these mighty angels, these commanding angels, these head angels, archangels, are not just rulers over worlds, but entire realms. You see, sci-fi has it right. The only problem is they have perverted the understanding of unfallen worlds. I remember before I was converted, I used to watch a lot of these sci-fi films. And in these sci-fi films, they would show galactic systems of worlds and planets of aliens and other beings that look like humans. And they had structures out in space connecting them to these different worlds and these systems. And there were commanders over those worlds and people working under them, delegating work for them to do over the planet, sending signals from their base in space all the way to these worlds to make sure things were in order, entire governments. Friends, do you know that these things, on a higher level than we can ever imagine, do exist, but they are unfallen, untainted by sin? In all of these films I used to watch, they were at war with one another. These worlds were at war with each other. That's where you get these ideas of Star Trek and all of these things, and Star Wars and all of these things. But these things are perversions. The devil has given men a mind to create these films to give us a perverted view of the unfallen worlds. So what will we do? We will always view them as aliens seeking to come and conquer us or destroy us. So our relationship to a world that we have never seen is antagonistic. It's not like we like them. We view messengers coming from outer space as a threat. And that's the devil's goal. Why? Because he lost their affection at the cross. At the cross, those worlds that once said, help us to understand, Lord, the government of Satan more and why he fell. They saw why he fell very clearly at Calvary. And the result was that inspiration tells us that their affections were cut off from him. And so in light of that, Satan hates these beings. He hates the unfallen angelic hosts. He hates the unfallen worlds. And he paints Christ and these worlds in a bad light through paradigms like Hollywood and sci-fi films. That's why we should stay away from these films, because they give us a wrong idea of the great controversy. People actually, and don't tell me, friends, oh, well, no one believes that stuff. I tell you the truth, people do believe those things. They watch them and they form their whole analysis of good and evil based on what they're seeing in these films. But they give us a certain philosophy. So we're beginning to answer this question, are we alone in the universe? The answer is definitely not. We are not alone in the universe, based on scripture, and then we saw it in the spirit of prophecy. There are other realms out there with beings that we will never come in contact with until the second coming. Notice, Jesus and the martyrs that ascended with him to heaven did not see these representatives, the sons of God, until they entered the kingdom. And that is the pattern for us. These beings are out there, but no matter how far the Hubble telescope goes into the universe, it will never be able to contact these beings because sin has been quarantined. God is limiting its reach. Only when the redeemed of the Lord at the second coming are taken with him to glory will they be reconciled with these beings that have never fallen. And so my prayer for us, I pray that we understood this, and we're going to keep studying it. We're going to read some statements next time concerning the actual beings that these angels rule over. They're representatives of unfallen worlds, and these unfallen worlds have otherworldly beings in them that these angels are ruling over. The beings on those worlds aren't angels, but angels have been apportioned a world to rule over to make sure that these beings operate in order and in righteousness. And we'll read about that next time. So with that, let's have a word of prayer as we close. Father in heaven, I pray that this made sense. It may have been a lot, but Lord, I pray that it made sense to us to realize that we are not alone, but there's a catch. we'll never be able, we have to believe that by faith, because we'll never come into contact with these beings until redemption comes, until the second coming. Lord, save us. Prepare us.
Mm-hmm.
Lord, this reconciliation with the heavenly family may come. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Pastor Akeem, we thank you for this study. And as you just said, I'm sure each and every one of us praying that God help us to look this up. And while you were saying it, I looked up this chapter, chapter 32, The Snares of Satan. And we will read this again, because when I start reading this, it says Satan want to deceive you by any means. Don't you know he said by appetite? By any means necessary, he wants us to be lost. For me and my sister, just short. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we read this great controversy for ourselves, Lord, impress upon our hearts to be ready. Lord, it's really a problem if we are lacking and trying to get ready, but yet we are not, we still trying. Oh, Father, help us right now that we have to be sincere and trusting in you, because this deception is so real that as we see the work of Satan, he wants us all lost. He knows he'll never be there in heaven again. So thank you so much, Father, for this word. Bless Brother Pastor King as he speak this and learn more and bring it to the prayer line. So, Father, give us understanding. Help us to know exactly what you want us to know, Father. Please don't leave us or pass us by with this information. Oh, thank you, Father, for the word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Brothers and sisters, I want to thank you once again. You have joined us and listened to this word. And be prayerful. Pray for me, for one another, that we can get this. And be one with God, as he was saying. Amen. So we will close out with a song. And I'm just going to tell each and every one, be blessed. And Sister Powell, we will join the prayer line in the morning at 8 o'clock. So whomever wants to join, you can join in. We may share a few scriptures, but we mainly pray and share a few scriptures if you want to share. But you can call the conference line, and that's where we are on the conference line. And the conference line is 605-475-4000. And you have the code to get on. I'm going to say the number again. The number is 05-475-4000. That is the conference number, meaning that we all can be on there. You can dial in. And the code is 1135 pound, and it will prompt you to get on. Amen. God bless you, and have a peaceful and a restful night. Amen. God bless, and we'll see you on Thursday by God's grace. Amen.